The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from coolblindtech.com, Honda's developing shoes that direct your steps. How to silence unknown callers in iOS 14. From news-medical.net, AI could predict the frequency of AMD treatments. And math model simulates ARMD progression. From medicalexpress.com, faulty recycling of light sensors could be behind ARMD. If I have time left, I will read the most recent list of sermons available from the Blind Post. So let's get started. From coolblindtech.com, Honda developing navigation system for blind and visually impaired pedestrians. Posted June 14th, Japanese automaker Honda Motor Company Limited announced a new firm called Asharaz, A-S-H-I-R-A-S-E, Inc. It's the first startup that came from Ignition, Honda's new business creation program. Asharaz, Inc.'s first technologically advanced product isn't for cars. Instead, the company is developing an in-shoe navigation system to support blind and visually impaired individuals with navigation. What is the navigation system called, and how does it work? The Asharaz uses a smartphone app and a 3D vibration device with a motion sensor that's attached inside of the shoe. With the use of vibrations, the Asharaz will tell the user when to go straight, turn right, turn left, and stop. Honda said that the product should enable an intuitive understanding of the route so users don't have to constantly be mindful of directions for a safer and more relaxed walk. How is route guidance provided for the shoes? The route guidance is provided by a global navigation satellite system, while the vibrators are aligned with the foot's nerves. Vibration via the foot also allows freedom with the user's hands, which can be used for other functions, such as holding a cane. Last year, Honda introduced the Ropot, which is practically a blind spot warning for 7-year-old kids in Japan when walking. All of these technological devices sprang from a need for it, with the Ropot coming from the sheer number of accidents involving kids and walking. When is the Asharaz navigation system expected to be available? Honda expects to begin sales of the Asharaz system by March 2023. Source, Honda. Also posted June 21st, how to silence unknown callers in iOS 14. Apple has a feature in settings called Silence Unknown Callers. If you routinely get a lot of spam calls, then this is the feature for you. If you receive a call from a number that is not in your contacts, iOS will silence the call, send it to voicemail, and display it on the recents list in the phone app. Incoming calls from your contacts, numbers you recently called, and Siri suggestions will continue to ring. How to silence unknown callers. Open Settings, select Phone, select Silence Unknown Callers, and turn the toggle on. If you place an emergency call, iOS will disable this feature for 24 hours in case emergency dispatchers and first responders need to contact you. From news-medical.net, AI could predict treatment demand for chronic eye diseases. Reviewed by Emily Henderson, Bachelor of Science. Age-related macular degeneration, AMD, is the most common cause of vision loss in people over 50. Up to 12% of those over 80 have the chronic disease. An estimated 16.4 million adults are affected by retinal vein occlusion, RVO, worldwide, a condition caused by a thrombosis of a retinal vein. It is the second most common cause of blindness from retinal vascular disease after diabetic retinopathy, DR. DR, in turn, is the leading cause of blindness in developed countries and affects up to 80% of people with more than 20 years of diabetes. It can lead to a swelling of the macula, diabetic macular edema, DME, which may cause partial or complete vision loss. All three conditions are treated by injections of a so-called antivascular endothelial growth factor, anti-VEGF, into the eye at intervals to slow down disease progress and prevent blindness. Because with eyesight, a central human sense is in jeopardy, patients are eager to know that they are being treated often enough to avoid rapid worsening. and doctors want to make sure they see each patient frequently enough not to miss important developments. The challenge? With the aging population, cases of AMD, RVO, or DME are globally on the rise, making it hard for specialized eye clinics to keep up with the growing demand for regular treatments. As doctors, we want to give each patient the necessary attention and treatment frequency that they need, says Sebastian Wolf, head of the ophthalmology department of the Inselspital that currently sees 6,000 patients with AMD, RVO, and DR. But it is also an organizational challenge to meet all patients' needs and be able to study all relevant eye imaging data to assess individual disease progression and take treatment decisions in the short time given. To monitor progression of the chronic eye conditions, optical coherence tomography, OCT, an imaging tool that generates 3D images of the eye at extremely high resolution, is usually applied. In collaboration with the ART.org Center for Biomedical Engineering Research, the Inselspital has developed automated OCT analysis tools based on artificial intelligence, which can assist eye doctors in the assessment of a whole patient set in just a few seconds. Together with Retin AI, a startup specialized in AI-based eye care technologies, they have now conducted a retrospective study of patients to assess how well AI can predict anti-VEGF treatment demand from the start. The setup? The study looked at OCT data from 340 patients with AMD and 285 patients with RVO or DME, treated with anti-VEGF at the Inselspital between 2014 and 2018. Based on morphological features automatically extracted from the OCT volumes at baseline and after two consecutive visits, as well as patient demographic information, two machine learning models were trained to predict the probability of the long-term treatment frequency demand of a new patient, one for AMD and one for RVO and DME. Based on the first three visits, it was possible to predict if a patient had a lower or a high treatment demand for both the AMD and the RVO and DME groups, with similar high accuracy. More importantly, the study revealed that it is possible to predict reasonably well at the initial visit and even before the first injection if a patient will less often require injections. Three advantages. We have shown that machine learning classifiers can predict treatment demand when a patient is first diagnosed with a chronic eye disease, says Matthias Gallardo, postdoctoral researcher at the ART.org AI and Medical Imaging, AIMI, lab, and member of the new Center for Artificial Intelligence and Medicine, CAIM. Hence, artificial intelligence may assist in establishing patient-specific treatment plans for the most common chronic eye conditions in the near future. Planning the ideal treatment frequency for each patient has multiple benefits. Firstly, patients can be sure their disease is being treated in the best way possible without subjecting them to too frequent visits and unpleasant injections into the eye. Secondly, individualized planning can help clinics cope with ever-growing patient numbers, allowing for the highest possible capacity utilization of specialized medical skills and infrastructure. Thirdly, objectivized on-demand planning helps avoid overprovision and can lead to improved cost efficiency and less healthcare expenditures. High yield confluence of clinical data science and industrial research. This study illustrates once more the proven eye-level collaboration between clinicians and data scientists of the Inselspital and the ART.org Center, which produces technology solutions suitable for everyday use because they were designed directly as a response to clinical needs. A further important aspect to provide a roadmap for the clinical implementation of such technology was the startup Retin AI. With its headquarters at SITEM-INSEL, the startup is also spatially located exactly at the interface between clinic and science. This unique Bernese environment for clinically driven AI technologies will be further capitalized by the new Center for Artificial Intelligence and Medicine, CAIME, combining the best of the three worlds of healthcare, science, and industry for the benefit of patients. Source, Inselspital, Bern University Hospital. So that would be Switzerland. New mathematical model helps simulate progression of age-related macular degeneration from news-medical.net, reviewed by Emily Henderson. Researchers from the Universidad Carlos Tres de Madrid, UC3M, have created a mathematical model and simulated numerically the progression of age-related macular degeneration, one of the main causes of blindness. This model can be used to better understand how this disease appears and assess the most effective treatments. Age-related macular degeneration, AMD, is a degenerative disease of the macula, the central area of the retina. There is currently no cure for the disease, and it is characterized by a gradual loss of central vision and is the leading cause of blindness in developed countries in people over the age of 65. It is estimated that AMD affects around 800,000 people in Spain. It is estimated that around 196 million people more affected worldwide. And it is also estimated that this number will reach 288 million by 2040. There are two types of AMD, the dry or atrophic phase, which is usually the first and most common phase, which progresses slowly. The acute phase, known as wet or exudative phase, which occurs less frequently but has a worse prognosis at a visual level. In this latter form of AMD, there is angiogenesis under the retina, an abnormal growth of very fragile blood vessels that may lose fluid or bleed, which can knock off and destroy the photoreceptor cells needed to see. In their research, scientists from the UC3M have created a computational model simulation of angiogenesis, the propagation of blood capillaries, that takes how this process occurs in the eye into account. Louis L. Bonilla recently published a scientific article with Rocio Vega and Manuel Carretero in the Biomedicines Journal. In practice, relatively little is known about the evolution and appearance of this disease, and researchers hope that using this mathematical modeling, they will be able to better understand how this pathology is created, how long it takes to progress, and if there is a way to stop it using current therapies. The model has several parameters that characterize the progression of the disease. One can change them and predict how the disease will progress according to values, so it can be used to control how the process happens, explains Professor Bonilla. Numerical simulations of the model suggest that therapies based on decreasing growth factors and proteins that are crucial in angiogenesis may temporarily slow the disease down, while other therapies based on improving cell adhesion may be more effective in the long term. In addition to this, this model could be used to research other retinal diseases, scientists say, such as diabetic retinopathy or that associated with premature babies, as in these cases, these diseases also occur due to abnormal blood vessel growth. Source, Universidad Carlos Tres de Madrid, UC3M. Journal reference, Vega R. et al., 2021, Anomalous Angiogenesis in Retina, published in Biomedicines. And the last AMD article found in medicalexpress.com. Recycling of the eye's light sensors is faulty in progressive blindness of older adults, by the University of Maryland School of Medicine. With the National Eye Institute reporting that about 11 million older adults in the U.S. endure a condition that leads to progressive blindness, known as age-related macular degeneration, University of Maryland School of Medicine, UMSOM, researchers are starting to understand what goes wrong in the disease in order to develop new therapies to treat it. Using human tissue and mice in their new study, published June 23rd in Nature Communications, they showed that the process, which removes the eye's old damaged light sensors, is disrupted in macular degeneration. Although more than 50 genes have been linked to the condition, the precise mechanism behind it is unknown. Most people have a form of the condition for which there are no known effective treatments. Previously, the senior author of a new study, Zubair M. Ahmed, Ph.D., professor of otorhinolaryngology, head and neck surgery and ophthalmology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, found that many families with hearing disorders had genetic mutations in the gene for the CIB2 protein. In work published in 2012 in Nature Genetics, Dr. Ahmed also showed that CIB2 was needed for vision in a large human family as well as in zebrafish. Now, in this latest study, his team built on that previous work to dissect the intricate cell mechanisms behind retinal degeneration. The team compared healthy mouse eyes to those from a mouse engineered without the CIB2 protein. The researchers observed that the CIB2 mutant mice were not getting rid of their old light sensor proteins, called photoreceptors, like healthy mouse eyes did. Photoreceptors continue growing in tiny columns in the eye, but over time light damages the photoreceptors. To combat this, support cells in the eye slowly munch on the old damaged photoreceptors, keeping the columns the correct length, says first author Soumil Setna, Ph.D., instructor of otolaryngology, head and neck surgery at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. If the photoreceptors are not removed, or if the process is backed up due to slow digestion by the support cells, like in the CIB2 mutant mice, the undigested material builds up over time, which may contribute to blindness. Next, the researchers identified several components in this photoreceptor recycling process, including a group of proteins collectively called MTORC1, which is involved in many human diseases, including cancer, obesity, and epilepsy. As MTORC1 plays a central decision-maker role for many cellular functions, including cleaning up cellular debris, the researchers looked at MTORC1's activity in the CIB2 mutant mice and saw that MTORC1 was overactive. They confirmed that MTORC1 was also overactive in human eye tissue samples from people with a form of age-related macular degeneration. By linking the results of the mouse studies to human disease, the researchers say their findings indicate that drugs against MTORC1 may be effective treatments for the most common type of age-related macular degeneration. MTOR, the core component, can be found in two flavors, each with different functions, known as complex 1, as in MTORC1, or complex 2, MTORC2. Researchers have tested many small molecules directed at MTORC1 to treat various diseases, but the problem is that MTOR is needed for so many other cell functions that there are major side effects when you tinker with it, says Dr. Ahmed. In our study, we found a back doorway to regulate MTORC1 and not MTORC2, which may bypass many of the unpleasant side effects that normally occur with suppressing MTORC1. We think we may be able to use our new knowledge of this mechanism to develop treatments for age-related macular degeneration and other diseases as well. The authors have filed a patent application to develop new therapies using CIB2's role in controlling MTOR. PCT/US2019/044745. Figuring out the cell mechanism behind age-related macular degeneration is the first step to being able to develop new treatments, says E. Albert Rees, MD, PhD, MBA, Executive Vice President for Medical Affairs, UM Baltimore, and the John Z. and Akiko K. Bowers, Distinguished Professor and Dean, University of Maryland School of Medicine. Using the evolving understanding of the mechanistic role of MTORC1, this study has provided great insights into new ways that researchers can begin to find ways to preserve, to treat, and or improve macular degeneration, and thus improve the quality of life and independent living in many older adults. Provided by the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Here are the most recent sermons by phone posted in the Blind Post. Sermons on the phone, 773-572-6206. Here are your new choices. Number 1, The Many Things That Were Illegal in the Trial of Jesus, by J. Vernon McGee. Number 2, Secret Prayer, by Lawrence Justice. Number 3, The Seriousness of Life, by Ron Crisp. Number 4, We Cannot Be Separated from the Love of God, by Erwin Lutzer. Number 5, Our Responsibility to the Word of God, by Warren Wiersbe. Number 6, When God Waited, M. R. DeHaan. Number 7, Special Offer, by Linda Stewart. That's not a sermon, that's a sale. Option 8, The Dangers of Replacing Faith Unknowingly, by Jeffrey Fugate. Number 9, What the Bible Teaches About Spiritual Adoption, by Farrell Griswold. Please share. You can contact Linda Stewart at linda.lassie903@gmail.com. I have a little time left, so I will start to read the list of most requested books from goodreads.com, starting with nonfiction. Think Again by Adam Grant. How to Avoid a Climate Disaster by Bill Gates. Between Two Kingdoms by Suleika Jaquad, Broken by Jenny Lawson, Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zauner, 400 Souls by Abram X. Kendi and Keisha M. Blaine, A Swim in a Pond in the Rain by George Saunders, The Light of Days by Judy Battalion, The Sum of Us by Heather McGee, Aftershocks by Nadia Owusu, You'll Never Believe What Happened to Lacey by Amber Ruffin and Lacey Lamar, Last Call by Elon Green, Chatter by Ethan Cross, K-R-O-S-S, Remember by Lisa Genova, The Babysitter, My Summers with a Serial Killer by Liza Rodman and Jennifer Jordan, Empire of Pain, The Secret History of the Sackler Dynasty by Patrick Radden Keefe, Cicely Tyson, Just As I Am, The Three Mothers by Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and James Baldwin's, About Those Ladies by Anna Malaika Tubbs, What I Mean by Joe Didion, The Bomber Mafia by Malcolm Gladwell, Widowish by Melissa Gould, The Doctor's Blackwell by Janice P. Nimura, Anthony Bourdain writes World Travel, The Premonition by Michael Lewis. Then in fiction we have Kristen Hanna writes The Four Winds, The Lost Apothecary by Sarah Penner, The Push by Ashley Aldrain, Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro, Paris Library, A Novel by Janet Skeslian Charles, Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid, The Rose Code by Kate Quinn, People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry, Concrete Rose by Angie Thomas, One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston, Outlawed by Anna North, This Close to OK by Lisa Cross-Smith, Later by Stephen King, Hail Mary by Andy Weir, Second First Impressions by Sally Thorne, The Good Sister by Sally Hepworth, Of Women and Salt by Gabriela Garcia, When the Stars Go Dark by Paula McLean, Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers, The Kindest Lie by Nancy Johnson, The Prophets by Robert Jones Jr., Girl A by Abigail Dean. That spacing is weird. Detransition Baby, A Novel by Tori Peters, Infinite Country by Patricia Engel, and that's what I have for those. Ozzy M. Howe posted his review of Various Canes on the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, group on Facebook. Not quite related to parenting a blind child, however, I hope it helps parents aid their blind children in their explorations. Whether it's a first white cane or trying to find a white cane that will survive middle school kids jumping over the cane as you tried to walk down the hall. I've been coming across a lot of people asking about differences in canes and wanted to try to circulate a post I wrote on canes a few years ago. The biggest thing to keep in mind is what's right for one might not be right for you. There's all sorts of companies, styles, philosophies, and so on. I'm going to give you as much of an explanation as I can on the differences. Lengths. When I started to get mobility lessons, I was told that the cane should reach the middle of my chest. When I didn't know any other opinions, I made it work. However, I found I had to hold the cane out almost at full arm length to avoid tripping when walking at my full stride. Later on, I was told by NFB members that I should have a cane that reaches my nose. That made my life a lot easier for a while, and I was able to walk more comfortably. After I was comfortable with that and built up my confidence, I was asked to try an even longer cane, aiming for the middle of my forehead. That was excellent for me, but unfortunately it makes it difficult for me to find a cane properly sized for my height. I'm 6'8" tall. Company differences. Amputech have really heavy canes. I personally find them to be too much on the wrist. I can use one for a while, but after a couple of days of constant use, I start feeling pain. However, they are a lot less likely to break if you're the type who is hard on your cane. getting them closed in doors, stuck in gutters, etc. Revolution are really nice canes. They are lighter than most canes I've tried, and they come with a lifetime warranty. They're also cheaper than most other companies. The problem I've had with them is that they have rather loose connection points between sections, and if you get a folding cane and they have a lot of connection points, between both of those facts you lose a lot of tactile feedback. Europa have strong connections between sections, but they tend to sharpen over time. Those sharpening edges cut through the cord really fast when compared to other canes. NFB have lightweight canes, but in my experience they tend to break the easiest due to the lighter weight materials. Given you can get a free NFB cane every 6 months or a year, I forget which, that's a reasonable trade-off in my personal opinion. Bob Riley canes are rather interesting. They are strong, reasonably weighted, etc. However, I'm personally not a fan due to their flexibility. For some people, the flexibility is great. It helps avoid breaking if you're the type to get your cane stuck in gutters, but I'm not comfortable with how much the cane flexes as I'm walking. Outdated, but still useful as the design was, picked up by another company. Unfortunately, I don't remember the name to change it in the post. Styles of canes. There are three common styles of canes, including straight, folding, and telescoping. Each style has its benefits and its drawbacks. Straight canes give the most feedback, tend to be the lightest, and have the most flexibility. On the other hand, they don't shrink in size, which means you have to figure out how to store your cane when you're in a vehicle, sitting in a restaurant, and so on. Folding canes lose tactile feedback at every connection point. It isn't a whole lot per point, but a little bit per connection fold. The more folds, the less tactile feedback you get. While the more folds it has, the smaller the cane is when you store it. My old boss had a cane that folded into 8 sections, and when folded was the size of a 12-ounce soda can. The final of these three is the telescoping cane. A telescoping cane is more or less the happy medium between the straight cane and a folding cane. The tactile feedback is degraded slightly because there are breaks, but not as much as a folding cane. The big hang-up with the telescoping cane is how easily they tend to jam. You get a little bit of dirt inside the cane and you could jam it, stopping the cane from collapsing properly. Then the other side of the same equation is how easily they collapse. I've never had it happen to me personally, but I've had plenty of complaints that someone is using their telescoping cane, hit a gutter the wrong way, and it collapses. Grips. The grip is 100% personal choice. I was never a fan of the ridged grips. I know they're designed to make a better grip, but I prefer a smooth rubber grip. Cane tips. A rolling tip, marshmallow tip, will help if you're the type to drag your cane, but it makes the cane heavier, off-balancing it a bit if you're going to use a tap method. A pencil tip makes the least difference to the weight distribution. The balance leaves the handle of the cane heavier than the end of the cane and leaves it easy to use a tap or drag method. A teardrop tip adds weight to the end in the background and helps with a drag method. The weight makes it pick up changes in elevation easier. The weight isn't as bad as the rolling tip, which makes it still easy to use the tap method. There are other types of tips as well that I haven't mentioned here, but those were the three I am familiar with at the time of writing this post. The information will be updated and revamped, hopefully in the near future, in a full-sized blog post. Well, I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next week. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.